This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. It's reported that workplace bullying is experienced by more than one-third of the United States workplace. And under today's laws, 80% of bullying is legal unless race, gender, age, or another protected status can be claimed. Over 20 states have introduced some version of anti-bullying legislation. However, there still is no law prohibiting bullying in the workplace anywhere in the United States, unfortunately. On this segment of Your Legal Rights, which is an employment law program focusing on bullying in the workplace, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the national movement to stop it. My guests are William Crosby, an employment law attorney and a member of the Executive Committee of the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar of California. His office is in Tustin, California. My other guest is Gary Namy, Ph.D., director of the Workplace Bullying Institute in Bellingham, Washington. It initiated its livelihood actually in California. He is the author of a couple of books, The Bully-Free Workplace, published by Wiley, and the second book is The Bully at Work, second edition, published by Sourcebook. He is a national authority on bullying in the workplace. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar of California. Additional funding for the program is provided by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Bill and Gary, welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chuck.
You're both here. This is good. I'll put on my resume that I'm able to get both of you on the line by phone and have you sound like you're actually in the studio. This is wonderful. Let's do this, Bill, if you would. I know you're currently involved and have been very much working toward trying to get a law to prohibit bullying. Tell us something about some of the issues that you're concerned about.
Well, I've been practicing in the area of employee rights litigation for over 30 years. Of course, we try to avoid litigation if at all possible, but in the course of that period, I have, of course, handled the cases that commonly go under the rubric of wrongful termination, sexual harassment, discrimination based on age, race, sex, national origin. Then, of course, you have wage and hour claims and contract claims and whistleblowing claims. But what we're talking about here is the conduct that is common to many of those claims, this concept of bullying. But then it occurs when many times there is not it is not tied into any of those other issues, and it exists, and it's a very bad thing for the employee that is subjected to it, usually by a supervisor, sometimes mid-level management people, sometimes it's co-employees, but then the supervisor and management doesn't intervene and discipline the co-employee. And yet, in many cases, there is no remedy in the law because it doesn't fall within the pattern of these various protected statuses. So,
can you distinguish, Bill, for us, and then Gary also, if you, what's the difference between harassment in the workplace and bullying?
Well, harassment typically has a legal definition. It's under Title VII of the Civil Rights Laws, the Fair Employment and Housing Act here in California, which is the type of conduct that leads to a hostile work environment and is motivated by motivations that are not business related, but rather tend to be malicious or close to it to satisfy personal needs for the power of the perpetrator. Usually the perpetrators are people that are on their own power trips. They tend to be narcissistic, often insecure individuals. And the real tragedy is that there's a lack of leadership in these institutions to control these people.
Well, let me interrupt then. Then how does that differ from bullying?
Well, that is, again, it is harassment. Bullying is harassment. It's just that if you don't have these protected status or retaliation based on whistleblowing, where there's a statutory law that's violated, that the employee's complaining about, such as taking money under the table or threats to public health and safety or other issues of that nature that violate some statutory law. If the boss is just an A1 jerk who is just a mean-spirited individual that wants to make life miserable for a subordinate employee, there may not be a remedy. That's harassment, pure and simple, but there's no remedy.
I see. So unless you can find a violation related to the discrimination based on race, gender, age, or some other protective status, you can't do anything about it. Is that basically correct?
Well, there is the cause of action for intentional infliction of emotional distress,
mm-hmm.
which has some recognition in the workplace. It's a common law cause of action, but there are many defenses to that, and a very high standard applies both to the conduct in issue and the severity of the emotional distress that's suffered. And there are a number of defenses, including preemption by workers' compensation laws, and so on, which make it a difficult tool to invoke for a plaintiff's attorney.
Chuck, this is Gary.
And yeah,
may
Gary.
May I say that when Bill's talking about an unnecessarily high standard, it's an astronomically high standard. There are four conditions for emotional distress. You're the lawyer. I'm not. I'm not practicing law. But I know the conduct, the negative, malicious, intentful, deliberate conduct has to be outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
And outrageous is defined by American courts. If we were in Canada, just north of the border, 20 miles from where I am, it would be the reasonable person test.
Mm-hmm.
If a reasonable person thought that what that boss did was outrageous, it would be defined as such. But here it's something like beyond the bounds of civilized society or something, isn't it, Bill? Isn't it that high of a standard for emotional distress claims?
That's correct. It's outrageous conduct which exceeds all bounds of decency mm-hmm. in a civilized society.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the courts think that anything nothing a manager does then is outrageous, hardly, in America. It is the win rate for the individual worker who would want to claim that is about 5%. And that's not a good winning ratio. It's not a level playing field. So it's incredibly high. And so this bullying is four times more prevalent than the illegal forms of harassment.
Mm-hmm.
I see bullying as the big pie of mistreatment. Think of a pie chart. And it's the whole family of mistreatment, all the sordid things people can do to one another, either as a solo perpetrator or in a gang, a group, a mob, to torment another worker, to prevent them from getting work done. And harassment is that narrow little slice that's legally prohibited. And we know from our studies that's about 20%.
Let me throw this out to both of you. Why then, if bullying can be so significant, so violent, essentially, to an employee, why is it that we have no state in the United States that has yet enacted some kind of legislation to protect people who are subjected to bullying?
Well, I think it's because still the victims of workplace bullying are always going to be a minority, and it's with any victim's rights or consumer legislation, we need a campaign to educate the public about this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And for sure, we would have a much more productive workplace. We would have certainly much more sense of mental well-being on the part of employees, and the companies would, and not just companies, by the way, this applies to government agencies. Sometimes they're the worst, and even nonprofits. And so, this is a problem that we need to educate the public about. We need to educate our legislators. We need to sort of tear out these false notions that bills like this are going to be job killers. They're going to be job enhancers is what they're going to be, because there's going to be much fewer stress claims, a lot fewer lawsuits, and a lot more healthy workplace.
Gary, let me come to you with this next question, but I want to mention first that the Workplace Bullying Institute in Bellingham, Washington has a blog, and so let me let you all know what it is in case you want to look into it further and educate yourself. It's all lowercase, no spaces, Workplace Bullying, that's BULLYING.org, workplacebullying.org. And here's my question, Gary, to you. One of the listeners of my program happens to be a professional mediator, and before the program went on the air, she called me to say, I think that you should talk about mediation, and she said, I think it would be very helpful in this type of situation. Now, what comments, Gary, do you have about someone who's confronted with bullying in the workplace, about trying to proceed with some kind of mediation, whether it may be a mediation through a government agency such as the district attorney's office? Most of the district attorneys have some kind of mediation, or a nonprofit. What comments do you have about this?
Chuck, I want you to keep your friendship.
Of course.
I think you owe her a dinner, and this is coming from me and not from you. Unfortunately, because NIOSH, National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, considers workplace bullying a form of workplace violence, albeit sublethal, it's not homicide, and non-physical, it's not battery. You call the police for that, so you don't need policies and the rest. Because it is this type of violence, this interpersonal violence, mediation is not the right solution. Only in its mildest forms, where it looks and smells and actually is conflict, would you use any of the toolkit from the conflict resolution bag. But unfortunately, mediation is going to seek a middle ground between two equally powered parties. Now, as Bill was mentioning, the majority of bullying in the U.S. is 72% top-down, so it's a boss or higher. And by the way, 35% of managers, no, other way around, 35% of all people who are bullied are managers, so it's not like managers don't get the heat too,
mm-hmm.
but they're often sandwiched. But the point is, when it is top-down, or in the narcissistic mind of the perpetrator, who might be a subordinate, might be an administrative assistant, they are perceived in their own world as more powerful. They are the one willing to exploit, primarily by catching the bullied target, we don't call them victims, the target off guard, because they never have faced such cruelty, and they've never expected it in the workplace. And so, therefore, they're already in a one-down compromised position. Mediation won't work then mm-hmm. when you have one person already underpowered going into such a negotiation. So, though it's well-intended and your friend is wonderful and mediation's a great tool, not now. For bullying.
Let me throw this out to both of you here. If the employee who is the bully target goes to the employer or the manager or whomever it may be, someone in management, and says, I'm really getting awfully stressed with what's going on here. I'm having difficulty doing my work because I'm being bullied. And the manager says, well, how about me initiating for you and helping you with a workers' compensation action? What comments do both of you have about that?
Well,
this is Bill, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is Bill. Yes, I'm not a big proponent of the workers' comp system. I think it serves a purpose, but what I do find laudable about the civil justice system and the legal system, where the case can be brought, if it's a significant enough case, in front of a jury to have a jury hear the facts under jury instructions where both sides get a fair shot, is that there's the potential of not only an adequate compensatory award to the target, but and this generally can be much more than what might be recoverable in a no-fault workers' comp system, but there's also the possibility of a punitive damage award that would send a message to the company mm-hmm. at the highest levels that they can't tolerate this type of conduct on the part of its mid-management. because they have impliedly authorized this, or it never would have got to litigation in the first place.
What if an employee is so highly stressed, as Gary has talked about, this is non-physical violence that the employee is subjected to and is the bully target. What if the employee feels so stressed that the employee says, I quit, and wants to go on unemployment compensation? Do you have any comments about that?
Well, in the past, this is Gary, in the past, first of all, I want to back Bill 100% on the fact that having a court action also allows the findings to be public. It's like, to me, it's akin to a product liability case where there's a dangerous vehicle out there and people sue, and then other people learn that the vehicle's dangerous. In this case, there are a few individuals inside particular organizations who are quite dangerous, and they make the work environment toxic. And as people bring forward cases, that information would be public. If, however, it stays internal to the organization and human resources investigates, I put that in quotes, investigates, then they are coerced into filing a workers' comp case, they're going to go without pay, they're not going to get their day of justice, and the trouble will not see the light of day, the problem. Mm-hmm. It will be buried inside. It's as if every case is settled with a gag order so that they can't talk about it and warn other people. And so the organization will have no incentive to get rid of the bozo because, quite frankly, they keep settling or they keep it all in-house. So external, court, the light of day with a public viewing, a little sunshine, is exactly what the aggressors don't like. As I say, they thrive on shame and secrecy. It generates a lot of shame in the individual target, and the organization basically circles around the wagons when it's a managerial abuser, and they shut it down. And then the person is driven out. They're treated like a rape victim. They're denigrated. They're blamed. They're perceived as, characterized as weak. It's a real character assassination game, Chuck, once it begins. And then the health decline prevents them from having the strength to bounce back. Maybe we can talk about that a bit, but that's my version of that.
Bill, you were trying to come in there about a minute ago. What was that?
Well, just to agree that when these cases are resolved by workers' comp remedies or short of full-blown, litigation, in many cases, they're written off as a cost of doing business. And then not only do they do the things that Gary just mentioned to defame and disparage and isolate the employee, but then they take out after the attorneys, of course, and they blame the problem on, too many lawsuits and, just the plaintiff's attorneys trying to make money and so on, when in fact, it's the righteous lawsuit that sends a message to the bad acting corporation or any organization that really gets things done.
What if the employee who is the bully target is a union member? Can he or she count on the union coming to their aid?
This is Gary. The answer is no. Not always. Very few American unions have language in their bargaining agreement. In fact, the first in the whole nation was in Massachusetts in 2009. So that's how recently this has become something of interest. But it is a hard-won negotiation if they can get that in the contract so that they then can grieve bullying incidents. And in the absence of contract language, American unions are very timid because the language is missing. And the second reason is they're very timid when it's member-on-member bullying, which is often the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always supervisor, non-member, down to the member. So the point being, if it's a bunch of coworkers, they're likely to be union members. So the union feels stuck. They somehow feel they need to defend and kind of forget their original purpose and only purpose is to represent. Attorneys defend, as far as I could tell. So I'm telling you, by comparison, I've worked longer with Canadian unions and with more of them, and American unions need to get on the bandwagon.
What thoughts, then, do you have? By the way, let me just mention, for those who may have come in just a little bit late into the program, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing an employment law program focusing on employees being bullied at the workplace. There is a national movement to stop it. My guests are Gary Namy, Ph.D., Director of the Workplace Bullying Institute in Bellingham, Washington, and Bill Crosby, an employment law attorney, member of the Executive Committee of the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar. What recommendation do you have, both of you, if someone is the bully target, as to what he or she should do to try to improve their situation? You've talked about avoiding to let your employer put you on some kind of a workers' comp claim situation. You've talked about don't just quit the job because you put yourself in a very weak position there. What recommendations do you have? Let me start with you, Bill, if you would.
Sure. Well, first off, I would hope that there is an HR department that professes to, you know, to be a vehicle to take such complaints and act on them. And there are some organizations where one can get some effective action taken. So I would say, in the first instance, to file a complaint using the procedures that are set forth by the organization to bring this to the attention of management, and do it in writing to make sure there's a record of it. But all too often, you know, as we've pointed out so far, management does nothing. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes they even go so far as to characterize the complaining party as being the problem. And once the boss finds out about it, then sometimes it's made worse. And I can tell you so many times where clients of mine have broken down, in some actually in tears in my office, absolutely distraught at how they're being treated and at this is their job. This is what they need to survive. This is the one thing that's supposed to give a person a sense of wholesomeness and fulfillment in life, and yet they're subjected to this conduct and they don't get resources. So if that doesn't work, then they may have to go on a stress leave, which is only a temporary resolution. They may have to consider resigning, and then they don't know what they're going to do in this bleak job situation. There are no real good alternatives, but we need a vehicle in the law to give these people a remedy.
How does one go about, if someone wants to get some legal advice about, and that's before the person has resigned, it's before the person has gone on a workers' compensation claim but is being the bully target. How does one go about trying to find an attorney who may be at least give some initial advice as to what the next step should be? What recommendations would you have, Bill, on this?
Well, first off, there's a wonderful organization, which I'm proud to say I was one of the founders of over 25 years ago, the California Employment Lawyers Association. It's a group of attorneys who primarily represent employees in the workplace. There are over 1,000 members. They have wonderful seminars. They have a listserv, and they have a lawyer referral service. And their headquarters is in Encino, California.
Mm-hmm.
And just look up the CELA website, C-E-L-A.
C-E-L-A,
and that
okay.
For finding such an attorney.
Okay, very good. What comments do you have on this, Gary, as to...
Well, what to do?
Yeah.
Once you complain, if you were to formally complain, you have to know you're going to be retaliated against. So we suggest you file the complaint after you're out on disability short-term, as Bill said, a short-term fix. But
if I may, Gary, when you say file the complaint, file it with whom?
You're going to have to file it with Human Resources.
Okay.
But they're not going to be able to act well and completely unless there's a policy. Here's the good news. we estimate that nearly 6% of U.S. employers are putting policies in specific to bullying. So that's the progress from our so far our 16 and a half years.
And you said six. You said 6%.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So here's the point. Since most of them will not have that, you're going to have a clever way to tell the organization. So here's what we suggest. Since you are going to be stressed, and the research on the cardiovascular impact, gastrointestinal impact, the compromise of your immune system, the fact that there's a Nobel Prize winning researcher right at UCSF from 2009 that documented how stress shortens one's lifespan.
That's University of California in San Francisco.
In San Francisco, Elizabeth Blackburn.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to, it really, really, really impacts your health. Not to count anxiety, depression, and 30% of the targets having PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, a war wound. But for those people who are so severely damaged, they actually were injured in a war zone. That's the workplace. You know, all the target ever says is, I just want to be left alone to do my job.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're meddled with, because someone else has this idea that they need to exert their power, it hurts them terribly. So here's our strategy, 3 steps. You have to name this phenomenon. Until you name it, either bullying or psychological violence or mobbing or whatever, you can go to the website and see a whole host of synonyms. You will not believe that it is someone else's fault. You will
We have 30 seconds left.
All righty then. And make a business case, an unemotional business case, to the highest level manager you can, and give them a chance to make you safe. And if they don't, then you must leave or you will never be healthy in that place.
For those of you who stay with us for the full hour, whether it's in the Bay Area or on the Internet at www.klw.org, we will continue in another half hour. I want to, before we end the statewide version, I want to remind you that the Workplace Bullying Institute has a blog. It's workplacebullying.org. I also want to remind you about the California Employment Lawyers Association, CELA, C-E-L-A, for your information. And then next week, I want you to know we're doing our preparing your 2013 income tax return and also call a CPA night, which will be off the air at 1-800-525-9917. All right, this is Your Legal Rights. It's KLW 91.7, your local public radio station. It is about 7:29 and a half. We're doing an employment law program focusing on employees being bullied at the workplace. This is a national problem. There is a national movement to stop it. My guests are Bill Crosby, an employment law attorney. He's a member of the executive committee of the Labor and Employment Law section of the state bar. His offices are in Tustin. My other guest is the national authority on bullying in the workplace, Gary Namie. His name is spelled N-A-M-I-E. He's a Ph.D., director of the Workplace Bullying Institute in Bellingham, Washington. He's the author of two books that I'm aware of, The Bully-Free Workplace, published by Wiley. The other one is The Bully at Work, second edition, published by Sourcebook. And I'm going to give you a chance to call in, ask a question, make a comment if you'd like. It's 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. In that, I want to give you an opportunity to come in with other employment law questions if you have them. If you do not, if you are fortunate enough not to be a bully target, don't be hesitant if you have some other employment law issue that you would like to pose to Mr. Crosby. Bill Crosby, feel free to do it again. The number 1-415-841-4134. And if you're out of the area listening to us live on the Internet at www.klw.org, that's the same number to call, 1-415-841-4134. 4134. Well, so far, I haven't seen anybody who is at least ready to tell you that he or she has been a bully target. So let me try to ask you some other questions about this so that we can try to get some conversation going with the audience and you. What I don't understand here, and Gary, you are the national expert on this. If someone, one individual, is bullying another, who happens to be the employee is the bully target, why is it that other employees in the workplace, and I've gone to your blog and read this, why is it that other employees start grouping with the bully to further bully the bully target?
Well, a couple reasons. And it's terrible that we have these theoretical, well-documented reasons, but, I mean, it sounds horrible, doesn't it? I mean,
yes, it
almost
does.
Amoral. But one, it's the F word. I got to lay it on you, Chuck. I mean, I know
now,
it's public
word?
Radio.
Wait a minute.
But
we can't. We have to be careful.
No, yeah. Here it comes. Here it comes.
All
it's
right.
Fear. It's all about fear.
F-E-A-R.
Fear of being,
okay.
Fear of being next.
Okay.
Fear that defending that individual would be the wrong thing to do, mm-hmm. and fear that you're going to be on the wrong side of the power equation.
And you become, therefore, another bully target. That's what you're saying.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Right. And it is just amazing. It is amazing. If coworkers were to, rise up and defend their colleague, their best friend of all those years, and not let the nonsense go on, it would probably be tamed very quickly, mm-hmm. handled informally. You wouldn't need company policies or laws. But because of human nature and because of that fear and that old-fashioned bystander effect, we just stand by and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And doing nothing is not a neutral act either. So
mm-hmm.
we're siding of it. Just doing nothing is condoning it. We either condemn or condone it when we see it. And so witnesses who do nothing are essentially siding with the bully no matter what.
Do you have any comments on that, Bill?
Well, just that what Gary says is right. I've seen these situations and some cases I've been involved with where you could almost analogize it to the Salem witch trials, you know, or this,
yeah.
The Spanish Inquisition, where the boss or whoever it is makes an accusation against an employee, and whether there's an ounce of truth in it or not, that's the truth that's going to be perceived by that group of people, or they're going to be in trouble. And some of the implications are really quite profound when you think about it.
Let me mention to those of you listening to the program, if you do have a question you'd like to pose or a comment you'd like to pose, and let's say you are somewhat hesitant, certainly to give your only your first name, use some other name. I want to get you on the air. I want to be able to have you talk with my guests as opposed to having Martin, who assists me as my associate producer, write down your question because that takes a lot of time. I want to start getting those of you who are interested, and I see the lines blinking here so that you're there waiting to get on the air, and I want to get you on the air. So, Martin, let's get somebody on the air here so that we can be going and having people asking questions, making comments, etc. Stephen, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Good evening.
Hi.
Thank you. I work for a nonprofit, and I can't get above part-time hours, and I can't get above $10.81, and I've been there for 4 years, and I'm afraid to take it above my boss's head because I do work for a nonprofit, and they can say, well, we don't need you anymore, and I get laid off, and I have no unemployment.
Okay, let me get some comments from Bill. Have you seen a lawyer on this, Stephen, at all?
No.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Where do you work? What city?
I work in San Francisco.
Are you? Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm a great believer in people trying to educate themselves as best they can, and I'm not suggesting you go out and pay a lawyer $300 an hour or whatever it is. But if you will hang up your phone and listen to what I'm going to say now, I will then ask Bill to make some comments, and I must let you know this, everyone. When someone calls in with a question like Stephen has about this, and of course we can't take all the facts on the radio program, unfortunately, the State Bar's ethics rules don't give prohibit my guests from giving specific legal advice. That's an ethical thing that they can't do. But let me do something for you, Stephen, also. I want to suggest to you that you contact the Lawyer Referral Service for the Bar Association of San Francisco. Give them a call. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best in finding someone for you who's an employment lawyer who represents employees and set up a half-an-hour consultation for you. And you'll pay $35, which is, I think, a very good investment for someone trying to educate him or herself about what there may be out there for you in terms of your protections, etc. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service number is 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616 for a referral to a lawyer. The whole point of the Lawyer Referral Service is try to help consumers in getting some initial information. If you are, by the way, someone down in San Mateo County, because the San Mateo County Bar Association is also a funder of this program, the Bar Association also has its own lawyer referral service. That number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. And any one of you, wherever you're listening in the state of California, every county has its own Bar Association lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. I think you'll usually get a human being to talk to. At least I hope that's the case. At most of the lawyer referral services throughout California. Tell them what the problem is, and they'll do their best to find someone for you for a half-an-hour consultation. And in California, with some rare exception, for a half-an-hour consultation, you'll pay either $25 or $35. Bill, do you have any comments for Stephen about the fact that he's been there 4 years, he's making $10 some odd cents an hour, he feels he's worth more than that, but he's afraid to go to his employer and complain? Do you have any comments for him?
Well, just it's unfortunate that this particular organization doesn't recognize your need to have have advancement in your pay scale, and unless they've taken some action, if they take some action to retaliate against you because you brought up the issue or make your life worse, then that might ripen into a legal case, but it sounds like this may not be the best place for you to continue your career if that's all they're paying you after that length of time.
Well,
Chuck, this is Gary.
I want to
applaud you for mentioning that very affordable way for people to see if indeed there is any legal recourse. We always tell people, don't pay a retainer to an attorney. You think you're going to find justice in the courts, and that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
So before you go anywhere and leave the job, or before you take any steps to correct, do consult an attorney to see if there is any legal recourse, because they'll tell you straight out. Nobody wants a weak case, a bad case, but I didn't know that kind of consultation, such an affordable rate was available.
Oh, yes. Oh, no.
That's fantastic.
This is statewide.
That's great.
There's only one county I'm aware of that charges, I think it's $50 for the initial 30-minute consultation, but the rest, this is a statewide approach to try to let the public know that lawyers are available on an initial consultation basis. And frankly, there are some lawyers who will do it with no charge for initial consultation. Here's a question that came to me, I think, from a lawyer. Even though most of us don't like bullying, you can't regulate or prohibit speech that may hurt others' feelings. Isn't this kind of speech protected under the First Amendment? Now, that comes, I think, from a lawyer. What comments do you have, Bill, on that?
Well, for one thing, oftentimes bullying dovetails into defamation. I've seen some very defamatory performance evaluations and other memos which cannot just be cloaked into this qualified privilege that exists in the civil code for these types of communications, which certainly exists. But malice is always a basis to overcome the qualified privilege that exists in the law. And when a supervisor goes so far as to defame someone's good name by accusing them of some type of underhanded conduct or grossly poor performance, which isn't just a judgment card. That goes to that person's good name, reputation, employability, and that is malicious, and that can't be protected by the First Amendment or anything else.
Okay, all right.
And this is Gary,
yeah,
and
Gary.
We also require that there be this intent to harm or cause distress, emotional distress, and since in real bullying it always does, that's a given. But that does distinguish it from just spouting off and being a loudmouth and obnoxious. These are personalized, targeted, systematic campaigns of interpersonal distress.
And not just an individual occasion. This is something that goes on.
Repeated.
And on.
Always.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, yeah. Chuck. Always repeated.
Yeah. Kind of a little, I'm going to hammer this guy down. I'm going
to. It's the chronic exposure to the stress that causes all the harm.
Sure. All right. I hope I pronounce this correct. Negus?
That's right.
Oh, good. You're on the air. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you very much, Anthony.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a situation in the last 5 years. My company, which I work for, I was retaliation, abusing, assaulting, discrimination, and everything. I just have been in trouble the last 5 years. Just, you know, the union involved, they don't do nothing in the union. Finally, I reported to DEFH.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Wait a minute, Negus. I didn't understand the last part you said. What did you say?
I reported to the DFH or DFH, Employment of Housing.
Unfortunately, your line is not good. Have you gone to a lawyer?
No, I didn't go to the lawyer.
Okay, let me ask you another question. When's the last time this has been occurring?
This is recently.
Is it happening right now?
Yeah, recently, yeah.
And where do you live? What city?
In San Francisco.
Okay, and you work where? Don't tell me the name of the employer. Where do you work? What city?
I'm in San Francisco.
Okay. I would suggest for you also, because I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but the quality of your phone, I don't know if you're calling from a cell phone or not, is not good. And what I think I want to recommend you to do is to contact the Lawyer Referral Service for the San Francisco Bar Association. Did you get that phone number?
Yes, I copied it when you talk with the
good
guy.
I think you need to call them. Call them tomorrow if you can, and try to make an appointment to meet with an employment lawyer who represents employees, and for at least a half an hour to get some basic information that may be helpful to you in proceeding further. How long have you been with this employer?
5 years.
5 years, okay. I suggest you do that because I think you need to, since you haven't done this before, I think you need to do it and see what the future holds in terms of what your rights may be and what you should do. You just don't want to let this continue. So I hope you don't mind, but the quality of your phone is not good, and I want to move on, and good luck to you.
Okay, just the last question.
Sure.
I have a meeting with the for a meditation, I'm not what we call it, just the word, is coming 2 weeks from now with the meditator and the company with me the next 2 weeks.
Well, I think what you should do, if I may suggest this, is I think you should try to make an appointment to meet with an employment law attorney before then so that you have some idea of preparing yourself for this meeting.
Okay, I will do that.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very, very important. Please, if you can, call tomorrow. And you did get the phone number, did you?
Yes, I get it.
Okay. Well, very good luck. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. I hope, gentlemen, you don't mind my suggesting that, but I think that's the best thing for him to do at this point. John, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. I was just listening on my way home, and I thought, you know what? I think I've kind of been bullied a little bit at work, and you know, it's been, I guess, I've been training in a new position for about a year, mm-hmm. and this happened at about 6 months, and I really didn't feel like I could say anything because I'm still in training. you know. And, you know, this particular individual as, you know, he started off kind of nice, and then he started, you know, saying demeaning things, and then, you know, there was an incident where I made a mistake, and he, you know, he just cursed me out.
You mean he actually swore at you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was...
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then...
Wow.
And then... Right after that, like, so it was a heated discussion. He yelled at me. He called me stupid, all this stuff. And then, and I basically, you know, I'm older than him. So I'm calm, you know. I mean, I've had my days of being excitable. You know, I'm just not as excitable, and especially not in a professional setting. And I said, okay, all right, well, you know, and he wanted me to go out in the hall, and I said.
And do what? Yeah. And duke it out?
That's what I said. That's what I said. I don't know. I was like, well, I'm either going to go out there and you're going to yell at me, or I'm going to go out there and we're getting a fight.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not going out there.
Good for you.
So I stayed with the group of people where we were working.
Mm.
And then he ran off, you know, all mad.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, my supervisor came in and said, hey, you know, somebody wrote an anonymous email saying that you been smoking pot at work.
Oh my!
And I'm like, what? Yeah. I don't even smoke pot, let alone at work.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not against it. It just doesn't work for me. I mean, I'm against
John,
it at work.
John, let me ask you this: do you work for a private company?
No, it's a major company.
Yeah. Okay, major company. Okay, but not the government. You don't work for the government.
No, I don't work for the government.
All right, and this guy who's been training you has been doing this.
Well, he's not the one training me, but the reason I haven't really felt like I could stand up to him is because I am in training, and he's got, you know, years and years of experience.
And what is his relationship? I thought you said he was training you.
No, I mean, it's kind of a group setting where he could be training me, but, I mean, he's not my specific trainer.
Well, let me get...
I should be learning from everybody.
John, let me get some comments from my guests on what suggestions...
Well, let me jump in first, if I might,
this
and then
Gary.
I think Bill can address the male-on-male, same-gender problem.
Yeah.
But, number one, I want to tell John... This is Gary, John. I want to tell you that the reason you're getting this garbage from this guy is you pose a threat. You're just way too skilled. You are older, wiser, calmer, and not a drama queen. And somehow your skill level so exceeds his that he can't handle it. This is what's prompting. Not that you're provoking it, but this is the his own personal deficit is why he's doing this. And you don't need to ruminate about it, but you need to clearly get it straight. Document lightly. Don't document too much, but try and do like what I would call an incident report. You know, what he pulls off when and the dates and whoever else is around. Now, what you do with that is going to be up to you later, but the point being, do not let him drive you crazy and ever lead you to blame yourself. Once you're past this probationary period.
Hold on, John. Let Gary finish, John. Don't interrupt.
I'm sorry,
please.
John. You were trying to say?
Well, I just wonder what to do with this, because I know he's bullied other people in the past.
Right.
To the point of actually making them leave, you know.
Well, end of the half hour, I was describing very quickly what our strategy is, and you can read about it at workplacebullying.org. It's called our three-step plan. But you want to make a business case that his disruptive behavior is actually tearing apart the team or preventing whatever it is you're training to do to get done. So, but you got a real problem in terms of threatening legal action, and Bill, the attorney, can tell you about that when it's mail on mail.
Go ahead, would you, Bill? What comments do you have for John?
Well, mail on mail sometimes can be sexual harassment, depending on what the behavior is.
John's saying that that's not the case here.
Okay, that's not the case. Well, then, you know, as Gary says, you need to bring it to the, you know, document it so that you have a record of it. Bring it to the attention of management, and ask them in an appropriate way to take remedial action. That there's a major problem here, and you want an investigation.
What happened was, So I did, you know, I documented it. I went to management. Management knew about it. And, you know, basically they've calmed him down. But now, he doesn't even talk to me. Mm-hmm. And he'll talk to other people. And then just kind of like, you know, kind of say things to other people while I'm in the room.
About you?
Maybe, not necessarily about me, but mm-hmm. maybe might bother me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when he's around, I just feel like I just, you know, I'm uncomfortable because I feel like he could be saying other things about me or whatever. And then, you know, he just gives me dirty looks. I mean, I'm a nice guy. I try to say, you know, I say good morning to everybody. And even him, when he's in the hallway, I walk past him like, hey, good morning, or, you know, whatever. It's just a habit. And he just glares at me. He's just always giving me these dirty looks, you know. And, I mean, at some point it's humorous, but, you know, being uncomfortable when I'm in the same room as him, that's a problem for me.
And how long have you been here, about a year or so?
Yeah, I mean, I've been with the company for like 5 years, but this is a new department.
I see.
6 years, but there's a new department. I've been
I see.
In this department for
All
about
right.
6 years.
Bill, what other comments do you have for him?
Well, just that I think you're a case study, really, of the whole problem that we're faced with, because you deserve a remedy every bit as much as a victim of sexual harassment or disability harassment or any other racial harassment. Why should you be any less deserving of being able to work in an environment that's professional and in which you're not constantly distracted by this bullying activity? It's totally wrong, and there should be a remedy for you.
I think the informal remedy is I take heart from the fact that management did go and try and quiet him down instead of telling you to shut up. However, that won't last. So what you need to do, that little thread of management support, you need to get the other people that he messes with to also go with you and say the same thing. You need the strength in numbers. Unfortunately, most people are chicken. So you're going to have to get them. And when you go, remember, don't talk about how it makes you uncomfortable or emotional. Talk about money, fiscal impact, financial impact. How is he going to mess up the company's profits?
How will John know how to really phrase that, though, Gary?
Well, we actually provide some of that guidance. It's in our book, Bully at Work, but the point is, you got, by taking out the emotion, you need to look at turnover. John, that bozo has probably chased out other people in the past.
He said
and
so.
Oh, yeah, I know he has. Yeah.
There you go. Document the number of people. The cost of replacing people is about 1.5 times somebody's salary. So do that per person. And once people start taking mental health days because they don't want to tolerate the nonsense at work, the totally unprofessional zaniness, chaotic, crackpot stuff that Bill said you should be free from, then you need to tally the absenteeism up.
Johnny.
Check out the prior costs, add it up, show that this guy, they probably have invested $250,000 and let him keep his job, and at some point you have to say, what's the cost, what's the benefit?
John, I want to mention to you also, John, listen to me for just a moment, if you would. I want to mention to you also that you might benefit from taking a look at the Workplace Bullying Institute blog, which is, if you want to jot this down, all lowercase, no spaces, workplacebullying.org. Workplacebullying.org.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
John, we're going to move on. I want to take one more. John, I want to take one more call. Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye bye. Allison, welcome to the program.
Hi.
It's your turn.
Yes, I have a question about, I guess, a situation that I'm in at work that I feel really confused about.
Go ahead.
I'm a teacher, and I work in a partnership with another teacher, and I've never quite endured, I don't know, I've worked with a lot of different people, and, you know, not everything is pleasant or unpleasant, but I'm working with somebody right now who kind of takes every opportunity that she can to point out any misgivings that I might have or that she perceives that I have to my boss. And just to give you a few examples, like, she has pulled me out of my classroom before to stand between two classrooms so that she could go tell on me for something that she thought that I did that I didn't do. She has started keeping, or she was found to be keeping a calendar of my arrival and leaving times.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I'm trying to think of another really high-leverage example. Like, she was talking.
What? I'm sorry, did we lose you, Allison? Allison, you still there?
Assessments at the beginning of the year. And
yeah, Allison, here. Allison, I'm sorry, your phone went dead on us. Go back about half a minute with what you were saying, and you need to be very succinct because we're nearly at the end of the program.
Okay, yes. So what was the last thing that I said?
Well, just go ahead. What has she done lately?
So the stuff that I just recounted, she pulled me out of the classroom because she thought that I had done something that I didn't actually do so that I would have to watch both classrooms of 44 kids while she went to my boss's office to go tell on me for something.
How often has she done this?
That was the first time. The second time, she started calendaring my arrival times, mm-hmm. and my departure times.
Yes.
For what purpose, I'm not entirely sure. And then another thing is, let's see, what else?
Let me ask you. She's not your supervisor, or is she?
No, she's not my supervisor.
You have been a teacher how long?
This is my fourth year.
And are you in a public school?
Yes.
Okay. Let me get some comments for you because I'm afraid we're getting very close to the end of the program. What comments, gentlemen, do you have for Allison for Allison, which appears to be a problem with this other teacher interfering unnecessarily? Go ahead.
Okay.
No, Allison, I want
Well, okay, this is Gary. I'll jump in. It's very little comfort for you to know that teachers and nurses are perhaps the most bullied career professionals, period. And that's because of your good nature and the fact that you're in the business to develop young people. Unfortunately, this woman is a Machiavellian manipulator whose only role every day seems to be to tear you down. You need to get support from your union, but this is a member-on-member issue.
Yeah.
You need her off your back, and you're going to have to demand that the union get involved in workplace bullying. They should know. Whether you're an NEA or AFT affiliate, doesn't matter. They should know. And you have the union official call me if they don't know what to do, and I will guide them on how to do this peer-on-peer thing, because she's caught you off guard. Now, if you're
let
strong...
Let me do this. We have run out of time.
Oh, I'm
Gary.
Sorry.
Let me give your phone number.
Good luck, Allison.
Allison, I want you to write this down, because we're nearly out of time.
What number?
Gary, I'll give the number that we've called you tonight.
All right.
Your office number. Gary Namie, Namie, his phone number. Allison, I hope you're ready to write. 360-656-6630. 360-656-6630. Gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for joining us on Your Legal Rights. It's been a pleasure having you on. Bill Crosby, employment law attorney, member of the Executive Committee of the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, and Gary Namie, director of the Workplace Bullying Institute in Bellingham, Washington. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Great to have you on the program. Everybody, let me remind you, next week, preparing your 2013 income tax return, HELP. We'll also have Off the Air while I'm doing the live program with David Hellman, certified specialist in taxation law. We'll do our annual Call a CPA night where you'll be able to talk with CPAs off the night by calling off, what should I say, off the air by calling 1-800-525-9917. Your Legal Rights production staff members are Joanne Marr, production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, additional funding provided by the Family Law Section of the State Bar, the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Thanks so much for listening to Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.